Somebody help me a little bit. I was at, it's not what I, well, I am going to get to it probably in a little bit, but I'm going to be in Acts 16. Acts 16, you can go wherever you want to. I'll probably be there in a minute.
Amen.
Amen, Acts 16. But I go to the Y, and you can't tell it, but amen, been going years and walk every day. And if you preach as many meetings and greetings with Baptists, you're going to eat. Baptists haven't met unless they eat. And we eat. Praise God. We took a 10-mile detour on the way up here and had to come through the Pioneers. Say amen. I know the Lord was in it. I met him there. Amen. Praise God. Fried chicken. Oh, you can't beat it. Fried chicken, man, and that sweet potato souffle with them pecans in it. I was speaking in tongues before. Amen. Good, good. So I have to go to Y, work out at the Y. And I was there, and I'd met, you know me, I'm loud. I meet everybody. And this big black preacher, I saw him, never talked to him that much, but I would speak to him. And a Pentecostal preacher. And he one day, big man. Amen. I believe he's biggest in my area, biggest Kings Mountain. Amen. He got his own zip code. But anyway, he came over to me and he said, I want to ask you something. I mean, that's the way he said it. And I thought, what did I do? I was trying to think. My wife wasn't there to tell me what I'd done wrong. And I thought about it a minute. I said, yes, sir. He said, you a preacher? I started to say, do you want me to be? Whatever. Big man. I said, yes, sir. He looked around and said, what kind of preacher are you? What kind do you want me to be? He said, what kind of preacher are you? I said, I'm a Baptist preacher. Faith Baptist Church. We're out of Shelby, but we're down the road. We know danger. Do you? That's what I was thinking. He said, uh-uh. I said, yes, sir. I'm a Baptist. No, you ain't. I said, yes, sir. I'm a Baptist. He said, uh-uh, you can't be. I said, why? He said, you too happy to be a Baptist. We laughed and became good buddies, but I thought, what a shame. What a shame that we have the Holy Ghost living within us and we're afraid to let him have full power in our lives to glorify him. That's what he does. He does not glorify himself. He glorifies the Son. And hey, I've got to tell you why I am in Shelby. Some of my best friends are Church of God and Pentecostal. Now, not the established, but old preachers out of there. A lot of them are more happy about having what they think they can lose that most Baptists that have eternal security don't even enjoy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Somebody say, don't look down. You ain't praying.
Yeah.
Amen. We ought to be happy about it. You can stand for God and still have the joy of the Lord. Go to Acts 16. Amen. That's my joke. That ain't no joke tonight. But that was on my heart. Amen. I appreciate the good singing by that choir. I got tickled. Brother David said, he don't have to be able to sing in this choir. And I thought, well, that's good. You don't have to be a real preacher to preach here either. Thank God I can preach. Amen. So I feel good about that. Amen. Appreciate my folks from Virginia coming back down again tonight. Hallelujah. Don't take them as long to get here. You throw it in neutral and outrun us. Amen. Rolling down the hill. Appreciate that. And it is good to see Brother Musty. And we've known one another and of one another all these years. 42 years he's been here. And I married a girl out of Jamestown, Ava. She'll be with me tomorrow night, Lord willing. My secretary's bringing her over to, where are we at? China? I get so, huh? Rockwell. I just call it Concord. I mean, just in Canapa. But over at Rockwell, I'm staying there at the Bible Missionary Baptist Church Prophet's Quarters. Brother Cody Zorn's dear, dear friend, and letting me stay there. I think he's up in Virginia and preaching. But my secretary's bringing me there, celebrating my wife's birthday. I started to tell you how old, but I want to live to see the next day, so I'm not going to say a word. Amen. But she's they're celebrating the ladies of our church, her birthday, which is Saturday. And she's a years old. And so you pray for her. But my secretary is bringing her to me tonight. Hallelujah. Been married almost 50 years. And I still enjoy being married. I still hug her. Every now and then I take my teeth out and get me a good kiss. Come on now. Look over there at her, son. Look at her. Take your teeth out. You look like a plumber's friend. Hey, man. It's all right. How many of you men still love your wife? Say amen. Amen. One man just looked at his wife to get permission. Amen. Acts 16. I love this chapter in the Bible. There's a lot to go, a lot of history, church history here. In this chapter on Paul's second missionary journey, he's done been through a difficult time. You serve the Lord. Everybody talk about, oh, we're in a rough generation, and it's just so hard now, and the world's so wicked, and so much going on. And, hey, it's always been that way. Here the Apostle Paul going to take in the gospel in his first journey. Then it even, many folks got saved, but then you had a division among the brethren. Him and Barnabas over their kinfolk. Amen. Boy, you could do something with Baptists if it wasn't for their kinfolk. You know, everybody's for the preaching until it starts jumping on the kinfolk. Amen. I could do some Baptist pastoring preaching right here. Amen. Amen. You preachers ever preach something? And all the other kids' parents get up and say, "You're right, preacher. Let her rip." And then you start preaching against their little demon-filled child. Amen. And they've been saying, "Preach, preach, preach." When it's their child, they're up and mad. They don't feel what they used to feel there. They're going to move on somewhere else. Amen. You said it hadn't happened to me. You keep preaching, it will. Amen. Amen. Praise God. But here old Paul, him and Barnabas have this division. But God always, hey, and Barnabas was a good man. Hey, listen, they just had a division over John Mark. But he was a good man. Amen. And Paul didn't spend the rest of his ministry attacking Barnabas either. Amen. Fellas, we can disagree without being disagreeable. Yeah. Amen. Somebody help me a little bit. Yeah. Amen. I'm not talking about major doctrinal things. But I'm gonna be as mean as a junkyard dog when it comes down to the scripture and inspiration and separation. Somebody help me a little bit. Hey, but on your methods, my methods, and in the church and the kind of people you pastor, it's not always going to be the same. But I like the fact Paul didn't fight Barnabas the rest of his life. He moved on. Hey, sometimes you just got to move on. Boy, I'm feeling something right. Did it even in the outline? I'm feeling something right here. Just move on, praise God. And then, Lord, and God calls him over to go to Europe, crossing over to a new continent. Did you know about everybody in this room? When Paul obeyed God with Silas and made this move, we became the beneficiaries of us. About everybody in here is of European descent. Say amen right there. Not everybody, but about everybody in here is of European descent. Thank God Paul brought that gospel. Boy, and I mean, it started stirring the continent. Got over there, picked up a young disciple by the name of Timothy. Oh, man, had a good godly mama and grandma. How about that? Daddy was a Greek convert. Amen. Somebody say amen right there. I mean, and boy, God's a moving. Going over there and met Lydia, the seller of purple. I mean, God's setting the roots to build that church right there at Philippi. Boy, that church planted, building a church. Now, when you go to building a church by the glory of God, I guarantee you're going to encounter the devil. You're going to encounter opposition. Dr. Bob Jones Sr., founder of the school that I went to 50 years ago. 50 years ago in May, I graduated. And Dr. Bob said, I sure am glad to see you come across this platform. And I thought he was proud of me. Then it dawned on me. What he meant was he was glad to get rid of me. Amen. They ain't even invited. I'm 50 miles from there, and they ain't never invited me in 38 years to come down there and even lead in silent prayer. They don't want nothing to do with me. Amen. Praise God. I still use King James Bible. I still believe what they taught me from the Bible 50 years ago. Somebody say amen. And I want to tell you something Dr. Bob Sr. used to say. If it causes friction, turn the cat around. Don't back up from opposition. Just keep preaching the Bible. My pastor, Dr. Preston Moore, Talbert's brother. A lot of y'all heard Talbert up in here. Talbert preaching this meeting, I think. And I was under his brother, Preston, down in, in fact, I left there to come to faith 38 years ago. And Preacher Moore used to say, he'd say, preaching this Bible will get you in trouble. But you keep preaching that Bible and it'll get you out of trouble. Amen. Amen. Well, Paul got in trouble. Sure enough, there was this demon-filled girl. Can I bring it to our terms? I would use the word contemporize, but that word does not fit in my vocabulary. I can't use the word. I won't even buy furniture that says it's contemporary. I'm old-fashioned. I'd rather sleep in the barn on a bed of hay than a contemporary bed. Say amen. Amen. Somebody smile. It'd be all right. Your neighbor ain't going to tell on you. It'll be okay. Act happy. Amen. Hey, Paul come in there, and there was these two pimps is what they were. That's what they were. They were masters of this girl involved in divination, sorcery, which is also a harlotry. She was into everything. By the power of the demons in her, she would tell your future. Fortune teller. Come on, everybody all right? She followed them around. They had such a power of God. Followed them all around every day. For many days, the Bible said. And finally, the demons cried out, ye servants, talking about Paul and Silas. Called them ye servants of the Most High. And Paul had heard enough. He turned around in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, come out of her. And boy, them devils come out. And this girl that was full of the devil got converted by the grace of God. Oh, there at the Holy Ghost rescue mission that came to where she was. And she got saved. And then pimps saw that she wasn't going to make them any more money. So they created a stir against Paul and Silas and stirred the crowd up. That's what the devil does. That's like his crowd today in America. They want this country to go communist and socialist because we finally got a president with a backbone that wants to stop all the hell that's going on in this country. Somebody say amen. Thank God. Amen. Send the guard in. Send the men. Do what you want. Amen. And want to stop all this mess. They go to rioting and tearing things up. Amen. And so Paul and Silas get thrown into jail. Now let me hurry. I'll hurry. Paul and Silas, I got to go home. I got to go meet my wife. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Yeah, amen. Oh, good. Thank you. Appreciate the encouragement, sir. Amen. Hey, verse 25. Paul and Silas were beaten with not a few stripes, many stripes, laid many stripes on them. They cast them into prison. This is verse 23. Charging the jailer to keep them safely. In other words, don't let these guys go. Listen, all they've been doing was set a girl free that maybe a grandma and a mama have been praying for and set her free by the gospel. Isn't that something? Well, I love their reaction. Let me tell you, the greatest Christian display many times is not in the positive preaching or the positive outgoing or the ministry. It's how you react to the circumstances and to the crisis. Anybody can shout and praise God while you're up on the mountain. But what do you do when the mountain's on top of you? And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened. And everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awakening out of his sleep, seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we're all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, sirs." Boy, I see that old gospel tract John R. Rice printed 60 and 70 years ago. That boy kneeling there, and he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" I wonder how many thousands and millions have been saved by that phrase. What about that? What must I do to be saved? And I love this. We got a lot of folks that is drifting from this. They're adding stuff to it that God will handle when they get saved. We're trying to break down and hyper-dispensating the gospel. Say you don't know what I'm talking about, don't worry about it. You can take some NyQuil and it'll cure you of it. Don't worry about that little cup. Take a whole big Dixie cup and you won't care about nothing else. Never mind. I can say that here, but I got 60 rescue mission members at my church. I can't say that from the pulpit. "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe on